Today we're going to continue our study that we began on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Last time we looked at love, which is a fruit that is only produced by the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to look at joy. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity to open up thy very words. Father, we pray that you'd bless our study today in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you'd bless the saint of God listening. And we also pray for the lost soul that's listening today, that's never trusted Jesus Christ shed blood and nothing else, to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secure them a home in heaven, that this would be the day of their salvation. From a heart of faith, they'd call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Father, now we commit this time into thy hand, and we ask all these things in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, joy begins with God. Again, joy is one of the nine fruit that is produced by the Holy Spirit. And as we said, as believers, we have an indwelling Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And if we're yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, then the fruit of the Spirit will be produced in our lives. And one of these things is joy. But joy begins with God. I want us to look at some verses of Scripture that show this. First, I'd like us to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, in verse number 63. The words of God say this: "And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it." And of course, in the context, the Lord God is speaking to Israel. But we see that he rejoiced. The Lord rejoiced. Joy begins with God. Look also with me in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Notice what the words of God say in verse 9 of Deuteronomy 30. "And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord will again," here it is, "rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers." And again, the Lord God is speaking directly to the nation of Israel. Now let's turn also to the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 32, in verse 41. The words of God say this: "Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul." Again, in the context, the Lord God is speaking to Israel. But what we want to see here is how in these three places of Scripture, we see that joy begins with God, where God rejoiced. Now, joy is a part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the reason I say that, because joy begins with God. You see, joy cannot begin with you or I. God is the source for joy in our lives. Now, joy is not happiness. You are happy because of happenings. You have joy because of the Lord. So we see, first of all, as we're speaking about the fruit of the Spirit, joy, we saw joy begins with God. Number two, we want to see that joy resounds in heaven. Joy resounds in heaven. Turn with me now to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 15, in verse number 10. The words of God say this: "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Now, this does not say that the angels are rejoicing, though they very well could be. It says that there is joy in the presence of angels. Now, exactly who is in their presence? Well, God the Father, God the Son, and believers who have died and gone on to heaven. What were they rejoicing over? Well, the words of God tell us, over one sinner who had repented. So we see that, number one, joy begins with God. Number two, joy resounds in heaven. Number three, we want to see that joy must needs begin with God. See? Joy must needs begin with God. So number three, joy is not dependent on the circumstances around you. Number three is joy is not dependent on the circumstances around you. Now I want us to turn to the book of Philippians, if you would, in chapter number 4 of Philippians, and in verse number 4. Notice what the words of God say here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. We read, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." You see, joy is internal and comes from the Lord. Happiness is external and results from happenings. Now, interestingly enough, this verse was penned by the Apostle Paul. Now, was he in some great church preaching when he said these words? Was he leading a great revival in some town? Was he sharing a testimony with some other Christians at a reunion? No, my dear friend. When Paul penned these words, he was sitting in a prison cell where he was serving time for preaching about the Jesus who allowed him to be cast into prison. You see, my dear friends, circumstances could not provide joy for Paul. Only Jesus could. Paul had lost most everything, but he still had Jesus, amen. What I want you to see is circumstances did not give Paul his joy, amen, and circumstances could not take his joy from him. Again, because joy is internal and it comes from the Lord, amen. So far, in our study today about joy, we've seen that joy begins with God, number one. Number two, joy resounds in heaven. Number three, joy is not dependent on the circumstances around you. Now look at number four. Joy is manifested in the Spirit-filled believer. Again, joy is manifested in the Spirit-filled believer. I want us to turn to the book of Ephesians for a moment. Chapter 5, in verses 18 through 19. Here we see a command in the Word of God God is giving us a command. And in verse 18, we read, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess." Don't become under the control, in other words, of alcohol. Don't become under the control of alcohol. It says, but be filled with the Spirit. So we're to come under the control of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, right? That's what the verse is saying here. That's what we should be under the influence of. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God. We're to be filled. Not just indwelt, but filled. Be under control. Let the Holy Spirit have control of every aspect of your life. Not alcohol. See? Come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And then as a result of that, look at in verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 5. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, obviously, if you're under the influence or under control of alcohol, you're going to be speaking things, but it's not going to be psalms and hymns in spiritual songs. And you may be if you're under the influence of alcohol, as some people do, you will be singing and making melody, but it won't be to the Lord. It'll be to the devil and to your flesh. But see, when you become controlled and influenced by the Holy Spirit of God, this is what will come from your lips, come from your heart. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody. See, that's joy. That's what that is. In your heart, where? To the Lord. Amen. Remember we said that joy is eternal, internal, not external, and it comes from God. See, so if you're under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit and we're commanded to be that way, then you're going to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So we see the very evidence of being filled, being Spirit-filled, is the characteristic of joy. You can have a certain amount of happiness without the Holy Spirit's fullness, but cannot have the joy of the Lord without it. Amen. Now, let's move on to number 5. Number 5 is, joy has some sources. Joy has some sources. What are the sources of joy? Let's look at a few of them. For example, we see that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had joy in God, her Savior. Mary had joy in God, her Savior. Let's turn, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 1, in verses 46 and 47. Notice what Mary says here. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Not herself. As some religions lift up Mary and deify her. No, she says, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced," there's a joy, "in God my Savior." So one of the sources of joy we see here is Mary had joy in God her Savior. And notice that she knew that she needed a Savior. She knew that she was a sinner. Amen. And she rejoiced in God her Savior. You can have another source of joy is you can have joy because you are forgiven. Because you are forgiven. And we're going to stay in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, but we're going to turn to chapter 10 and read beginning in verse 17 down to verse 20. And we read this. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I gave unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he tells them the power that he's given them. But now our Lord's going to tell his disciples why they should have joy, not because of these things, not because of the powers that he's given them and that the devils are subject unto him. Our Lord says in verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names, amen, are written in heaven. Because your name is written in heaven. And the reason you can have joy, because your name is written in heaven, and for your name to be written in heaven, your sins have to be forgiven. See? So you can have joy, amen, because you are forgiven and your name is written in heaven, amen. Now also look with me, if you would. You can have joy in walking with God. You can have joy in walking with God. Now, let's turn together to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. And we want to look in particular at Psalm number 16 in verse number 11. Notice what the words of God say. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So here we see the psalmist is telling us that in the presence of God is fullness of joy. And he tells us to begin with that God will show him the path of life. In other words, what God has in store for his life, in the direction he is to take. And that path of life that the psalmist is to take is going to bring him in the presence of the Lord. And in the presence, he's going to find the fullness of joy. So, my dear friend, you can have joy in walking with God. And then as we finally look at one more source of joy. You can have joy in the Word of God. You can have joy in the very Word of God. Look at in Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet. In chapter number 15. Look at in verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me, here it is, the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Maybe the reason, my dear listener, that there's no joy in your life is because you're not reading, meditating, and studying the words of God like God wants you to do. Because if you did, it tells us here in God's words that there'll be joy and rejoicing in your heart if you do. Amen? So far as we've looked at joy, one of the nine fruit of the Spirit, in our study today. We have so far looked at five things. We see that, number one, that joy begins with God. Number two, we saw that joy resounds in heaven. Number three, we saw that joy is not dependent on the circumstances around you. Number four, we saw that joy is manifested in the Spirit-filled believer. And we saw, number five, joy has some sources. Now, our last thing we want to see about joy is joy also has an enemy. Joy also has an enemy, does he not? Look it in Psalms with me. 51. Psalm 51 with me. And we're going to look at verses 11 and 12. Here we have a Psalm of David. And here we have his confession in this psalm of his sin with Bathsheba. And we read in verse 11 of Psalm 51, the words of God say, he's crying out, and he says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." See? So we see that one of the enemies of joy is sin. Here we see the conviction of the Holy Spirit causes us to lose our joy. See? And the Holy Spirit of God that indwells you convicts you of your sin. Amen. Convicts you of your sin. And when the Holy Spirit convicts you about something, you need to confess it right then and there and not wait. In other words, you need to keep a short account. Amen. You need to go right to God when the Holy Spirit convicts you of a sin in your life and get right with Almighty God. Because unconfessed sin will steal your joy. Amen? You can just see the conviction here of David. How he's feeling. Amen. "Cast me not away from thy presence." That's how he's feeling. Like God has cast him away. See? He's not in the presence of God. "And take not thy Holy Spirit from me." See, the Holy Spirit produces joy. And an individual can't have real joy if that Holy Spirit is not with them. And then verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." See? When you're saved, you have joy that you're saved. You know your sins are forgiven, and you have a home in heaven. And thank God, in the age of grace, we have eternal security. We cannot lose our salvation. But I know when the Christian sins, when we sin, a lot of times, and we start doubting our salvation. Amen. But we're saved eternally. But you lose the joy. In this age of grace, you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your joy of your salvation that it brings. Amen. So we see then, amen, unconfessed sin will steal your joy. Whatever it is that's keeping you away from God is the thing that is stealing your joy. And of course, with David, it was his unconfessed sin with Bathsheba. So again, we've been discussing today one of the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit that's produced in the believer's life, and that's joy. We saw, one, joy begins with God. Two, joy resounds in heaven. Three, joy is not dependent on the circumstances around you. Joy is manifested in the Spirit-filled believer, and joy has some sources. We looked at some sources of joy. And then we saw lastly, number six, joy also has an enemy, unconfessed sin. So, as we wrap things up today, we want to see that joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Just like we looked at last time, love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it has to be remembered that it's not something that you and I can produce ourselves. It has to begin with God. Amen. It is the outward manifestation of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we saw that command in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, to be filled with the Spirit of God, to become under the influence, not to be filled with alcohol, not to come under the influence of alcohol, but to be filled with the Spirit of God and come under the influence of God. And then we saw that joy, it is quenched by harboring sin and not dealing with it as you ought to. Amen. And to get that joy back, you need to go back to the place you lost it or left it for something else. You know, this life of ours, this world of ours, spends a lot of advertisement on telling us how our lives can be better and more joyful and everything else. We don't need God. All we need is this product or this thing or sin. The devil will show you sin. This sin will bring you joy. Amen. But it's all a lie. We saw that. It'll only take that joy away. See, what you thought would bring you joy did not work. What you traded it in for is long gone. Amen. It's no more glittering. The luster has worn off. And what are you left with? Nothing. No joy. Void of joy. Empty. You can get the joy back once again by clearing the air between you and God. You can get down right now on your knees and talk to God and confess that sin that's taken that joy from your life. Again, David, the psalmist king, wrote, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation," was his cry of repentance. Maybe you've lost the joy of your salvation. You haven't lost your salvation, but the joy. If you've lost the joy of your salvation, this should be your cry today to Almighty God. Restore the joy of thy salvation, the joy that you've given me knowing that I'm saved. And the only way you can do that is to confess your sin and get right with Him. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, we've just about run out of time. I hope you'll continue to join me, Brother Gino, for our series on the fruit of the Spirit. Till we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.